The following is a production of Galactic Netcasts.
This episode of the Podcast of Terror is brought to you by our friends at Statosphere Merch. Use our coupon code TERROR for 15% off your order at statospheremerch.com. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Podcast of Terror, a production of Galactic Netcasts. I am your host, Matt Stein. With me, as always, is Corey Something Clever Goes Here Scott. Corey, how are you?
Hi, I'm Scory Scott. You might recognize me from other projects of mine, like Else Nerds or Don't Ask Comics or Your Mom.
Scory, did you call yourself Scory Scott?
Yeah, I can't say my own name. That's how great I am at this whole podcasting thing. Is I trip up even on things that are totally familiar to me.
I've been drinking all day, so you cannot be in any worse shape than I am.
No, I've been sober for 20 years, so I'm just old and getting forgetful.
You're still beautiful. For more on this podcast, including show notes, content information, subscription links, go to gncast.com/pod. For other shows from the Galactic Netcast, just go to gncast.com. Podcast of Terror is super spoiler heavy. We're going to spoil the shit out of Tucker and Dale versus Evil later, so if you haven't seen it, you're going to want to go ahead and watch it now. Pause this, watch that, come back. And Corey wants me to tell you that I swear a lot.
You're not the only one, but I think that collectively we swear a bunch.
Yeah, I swear, you swear, and then I swear some more, and then it turns into this big thing where there's a lot of swearing happening.
El Wapo
El Jefe?
Says that we have a plethora of swearing.
El Jefe?
El Jefe. Well, no, it wasn't Jefe like El Wapo's friend, his little buddy that he kind of cursed out a lot.
I don't fucking know. I have no idea. Unfortunately, due to unforeseen circumstances, Carrie was unable to join us this week, so we are trudging forward without her.
It is a holiday weekend. If she's out having a grand old time, I don't blame her.
Yeah,
I would be too, but I'm old, brittle, and like to stay indoors away from the sun.
She might be drunk in a ditch right now. I hope not, because she's actually a really fun person to talk to.
We will try to get her back on another time,
yeah.
Or we will make her pay by having her husband take her to a haunted house.
Boyfriend.
Or
male,
anybody.
Male companion.
Stud monkey.
I've never met him, but I hear he's got a mammoth cock.
Mm.
Let's go ahead and get right into the news.
On the wall from hunting.
First piece of news I blame on Corey. Which is actually pretty cool. You can get an Addams Family mansion made out of Legos.
Well, this is to support the idea that they will make the mansion available. So Legos does this thing called Legos Ideas.
Yes.
And
yes, they do.
They put out potential projects and they give people the ability to kind of pre-support the project. It's not exactly a Kickstarter, but it's similar in the idea of they don't want to make these giant sets without determining fan interest first. And this is a pretty damn cool one. The only thing about it that I might potentially take issue with is that it uses a lot of grays and blacks, which is fine because Addams Family was in black and white. But if you've ever seen color photos of the sets, they're incredibly colorful. It's like a lot of fuchsias and purples and stuff. So it's strange to see this and not have that as part of the option.
Yeah, but you figure the Addams Family was dark in concept?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But, I don't know. I agree with what you're saying. It should be true to the colors, not just we're going to make it dark because it's supposed to be dark and whatever. I don't know if I would buy this or not. Would you buy it?
I'm kind of at the age of Legos are just a portion of my house that I can't dedicate to. But if for some reason I ever managed to knock up my wife and we have kids down the road, this would be kind of the thing that I would buy, quote unquote, for the child. But no, it would be mine.
If you knock up your wife, I'm going to start calling you Corey Sharpshooter Scott.
That would be amazing. It's going to be like, Corey, I didn't know this was loaded, Scott.
Didn't know this was loaded. Last time I checked, the safety was on. That sounds dirty. So yeah, you can go to Lego Ideas if you are interested in the fuck? Sorry, a loud thing just happened behind me and screwed the shit out of me.
Podcast of Terror, keeping you on your toes since 2016.
I just pooped my shorts. You can go to LEGO Ideas. You can click the support button, and I believe once they get 10,000 users or 10,000 people approve it, then LEGO will actually go in and decide if they're going to make it or not.
And they're close. They're at 8,534 right now.
686 days left. That's just, whatever.
This seems likely.
It's like a gimme. let's go ahead and move on to Kevin Bacon.
A side of bacon. Thank you, sir. May I have another? So iHorror.com tells us that Kevin Bacon will return in a 10-episode Tremors series. Somebody tweeted at Bacon, probably on one of those, ask me anything about my nuts things. And they said, would you ever do another Tremors? And he said, oh, yeah, we're working on a 10-episode series of it right now. I'd love to do more Tremors. And I could not be more excited about this.
I'm curious to see what happens. The original Tremors is a really good movie, and then the subsequent 7 that followed were not very good.
But changing characters going down the line. We had Michael Gross kind of take over the series from 3 on. Mm-hmm. It was fine. It was just, it didn't match up to that original caliber of film. But that original caliber of film was just kind of silly, over the top things with giant sandworms.
Right.
It was fun. I think it's a fun movie. It's a fun series. I think that it's great that he would be interested in coming back to it.
It was one of the first popularized creature horror slasher type movies that I remember. I'm not saying that it is the first. I'm just saying that was the first one I remember where like a creature is the basis of evil. One of my best friends in high school, whom I'm still very good friends with, his mom used to sit in the kitchen and watch these. She would watch like Tremors and Spiders and anything involving some sort of creature that would fucking murder people. All over that shit.
Yeah, and I mean, this is kind of what the Sci-Fi Channel has been for the last 15 years or so anyways, is these kinds of movies, knockoffs of them, or in some cases, the actual sequels have been straight to sci-fi, but it's definitely that creature of the film is the basis of it. And you can go into things like Placid and a bunch of other things that have just been like, here's some giant monster for some reason that is, it's the characters that are around it that make it interesting.
So would,
because there's not a lot to it.
Would the adult version of Lake Placid be Lake Flaccid?
Well, the very adult, the Lake Take a Pill.
The geriatric version of Lake Placid is Lake Flaccid.
Speaking of Donald Trump. Yeah, so these are some... I mean, this is not that far from Maximum Overdrive, mm-mm, which was a bunch of people kind of trapped in a place out in the desert. And then you get to things like Legion as well. It's almost the same story of people kind of trapped in this place. They're far away from the rest of society, and dealing with creatures that are trying to kill them or eat them or run them over or spit toast in their face. Feast was another one that was similar to that. So it's a pretty simple concept, but it's got Kevin Bacon, and that makes it awesome.
Everything is better with Bacon.
It'll be an easy way to link back in my 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon Oracle.
Jesus, you should find a new hobby.
I thought that's what this was. Hey, so finally, our last story is from Dread Central, which is Bill Moseley, Kane Hodder, and Michael Berryman crawl from the Shed of the Dead. We just recently had Derek on here, who got his Indiegogo funded for the Kane Hodder documentary, which is fantastic.
Fuck yes, he
super
did.
Happy for them.
It was, I don't know if you paid attention to the end, but it was like in the 23rd hour is when it finally got funded.
Yeah, and that's sometimes how those things go. They get just shy of it, and then at that final hour or so, there's a big push where everyone's like, oh, I was kind of hesitant. I wanted to see if it was going to succeed or not before I really dedicated myself to it. And now it looks close enough that, yeah, I can be the one who maybe gets the glory of saying I made it happen. It doesn't matter as long as it happens.
Absolutely.
And couldn't have happened to a better guy than Derek and, of course, Kane Hodder himself. So, but that's not all that Kane Hodder is doing, even if you watch things where he says that he's retiring from horror on YouTube and then find out that he's a dirty, dirty liar.
And then just fucking murder someone. I honestly, I was watching that and I thought to myself, like, maybe I can see where he's coming from. And then just the complete switch where he's like, ah, fuck you, I'm a fucking liar, and just breaks guy's neck. That got me. Got me good right in here.
Yeah, it's like Robert Englund coming out and saying, you know, all I'm going to do from now on is romantic comedies, which I could see. I would actually love to see that. Freddy Krueger in a romantic comedy.
Me too. Well, there was that scene in Strangeland where Robert Englund was trying to bang his wife and watching the porn. And
then his dead wife is dancing in front of him. He's like, oh, you're turning me on.
Getting me so hot. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I canceled it out. I don't want to ever see him in his O face.
I do.
All right, but synopsis for this movie is character named Trevor is between jobs, and he spends his day avoiding his nagging wife by hiding out in his allotment shed and painting figurines for his war games. So it's like Warcraft or Warhammer, I guess. With his friend Graham and dreaming of his heroic alter ego, the battle mage Casimir the Destroyer. Yeah. So this is kind of like a mix of RPGs and horror, and I think that'll be okay.
It's funny because they use both names for my penis, the Warhammer and the Casimir Destroyer.
Mine is just lonely.
Sorry. Tell Aaron to change that. How else are you going to lay baby pipe?
Who do you think named it? I don't know. There's not a lot to tell about this movie other than the fact that it's kind of like a mix of RPG nerds and horror nerds, and that's kind of both in my wheelhouse. I'm excited for this. And it's got Kane fucking Hodder in it.
Yeah, he seems to be doing a lot of stuff lately.
I don't know that it was ever a point that he wasn't doing stuff, but he's getting a lot of attention right now, and I think that's good. He's someone who deserves the attention.
I'm sorry. I'm looking up his IMDb real quick because I need to get to the bottom of this. Kane fucking Hodder.
Did make sure you spelled fucking right.
Yeah, I did. Two K's.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you're right, man. You know, balance. Consistently. I don't know how far back to even go, but. Oh, I didn't realize Hatchet 2 just came out in 2010.
Yeah, we haven't gotten to the Hatchet movies. In fact, I've not actually seen them.
Neither have I. We should definitely do that.
That'll go on the schedule.
And I do want to see Old 37 as well. That's the ambulance one.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, he's got 18 movies in completed pre-production, post-production, or announced status.
Yeah, that guy is busy. He works really hard. He gets a lot of attention and probably makes a good deal of bank and still drinks PBR. So,
oh God, I don't know if you can respect. I don't want to say that because I do respect.
You totally will respect him.
I respect the shit out of him, but I feel like PBR is definitely gross.
Flavor love, man.
At least switch to like Miller Lite, Miller High.
No,
Life.
No, you don't. You don't switch. You MGD. Stick to what you love.
Touche. Corey wins this round.
I'm a Mountain Dew drinker, and that's just, I know what it's like.
And your piss, is neon green.
Tasty.
Hey, have you had the Mountain Dew Black? The black label?
Yeah. I mean, is that a disease? Is that something that happens to your nuts drinking too much Mountain Dew? Because I feel like maybe I've been on the cusp.
I saw it yesterday when I was at a grocery store. Yeah, Mountain Dew Black label. The can is black. Doesn't say do crafted with dark berry.
I don't know about that. I tried that Pepsi 1893 the other day.
How's that?
That was like the Budweiser of Pepsi's. It was not good. It was almost just like drinking water with a little bit of molasses in it from a can. Like, you can't take what is supposed to be this awesome formula and this fantastic taste and say, and we're going to put it in an aluminum can so it tastes just as shitty as everything else.
So are you a Coke or a Pepsi guy?
I think when it comes down to it, I would probably lean more towards Coke because it doesn't have as much bite as Pepsi does. Okay. And that's what I thought this was. It was going to take some of the bite out. It just had almost no flavor at all. But I'm a Mountain Dew guy.
Just
that's who I am. I drink Mountain Dew for the taste. There was a point where they had caffeine-free Mountain Dew. And I drank that because I was trying to cut back in caffeine. But fuck if I'm going to back off my green dye.
That's true. Did you know that Rip Torn doesn't have to drink his own urine, but it's sterile and he likes the taste?
Damn straight. I've drank Rip Torn's urine at least twice in my life.
That was a dodgeball reference. I don't know if you caught it or not, but...
No, you don't catch it. You try to dodge it. That's how the game works.
What is it? Dip, dodge, duck, and dodge?
I think there's one more in there.
Yeah, yeah, there's one that he repeats. The 5 D's of dodgeball. This is great podcasting right now. The 5 D's of dodgeball are dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge.
Yep.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Speaking of taking the D, Matt and I want to talk to you about Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
What?
You take the D.
What? Okay, the proverbial
the D is the direct route to where we talk about the movie.
The proverbial D. I've actually seen this movie multiple times. I assume you have as well.
I've seen it a couple of times. I don't think I've watched it as many times as I probably would expect to, because I love the people in it. I'm a huge fan of Alan Tudyk. And I accept Tyler Labine. Sometimes he's great. Sometimes he does stuff that I'm like, what the hell was that? What was your Fox show? That was strange.
See,
don't do that again.
I like Tyler Labine. And what was the Fox show you're referencing? Because I can't think of the name.
I don't remember the name, but it was something where he was taking charge of a couple of kids or something. It was like Charles in Charge, except dumber. And that's accepting the fact that Willie Ames was on Charles in Charge.
Charles in Charge of... Sorry. Now I have that song stuck in my head. Yeah, what the fuck was the name of that show? Rise of the Planet of the Apes? No. Animal Practice. Weird. Deadbeat?
No, it's further back than that.
You're not helping.
I'm sorry. I didn't know that we were going that far back. Animal Practice was actually pretty
Sons
bad as well.
Sons of Tucson.
Sons of Tucson.
I never saw it, so I didn't know if it sucked or not. I'm trying to think what else he is. I think he's. I actually really like him in this movie. I think his like lovable fat idiot look and persona play really well for obvious reasons.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, do you want that to be your only shtick? He's done some other stuff. He was the best friend in the Mad Love series. That was also pretty bad. I liked him on Reaper though.
Yes, and that's what I was just gonna say. I actually really, really enjoyed Reaper, which. Maybe a surprise, because I don't know if a lot of people really like that movie or not.
Like
the TV
Reaper,
show.
It's something that we should maybe check out and do a watch through for the show at some point, too.
I would totally go back and watch it. Part of me is happy it stopped being a thing, and part of me wished that it was still a thing.
Yeah. But as far as this thing, in particular this movie, Tucker and Dale vs. Evil. Talk to me about it.
The first time I watched this movie, I had been talked into seeing it, so it was not like something that I stumbled upon, something I was really looking forward to, but it's just really funny that they show like both sides of what's happening, like how these two idiots are just trying to fix up a cabin, and like these kids think that they kidnapped their friend and they're gonna kill him and all this shit, and probably my favorite line of the movie is. When Dale's talking, he just goes, "There's all these college kids who just keep killing themselves all over the woods," and I'm like, that line like is the epitome of just how inept they are to what is actually happening. And he just plays such like a lovable dope.
Yeah, I mean they're both pretty excellent in this, and it's funny because it I don't know if you've seen it on the DVD or the Blu-ray version.
I've only ever watched it on Netflix, so.
So if you watch the DVD, they have an extra on there, which is basically retelling the story from the point of view of the teenagers, mm-hmm. so that it makes Tucker and Dale look scarier. It shows them as just being the backwoods hillbilly serial killers like you get from The Hills Have Eyes or any number of other things like this. And it's really funny to watch that version of it, because it makes you think, oh, I wonder how many of these other movies exist that could be actually the case. Yeah. Like, what if Jason was just misunderstood and some guy just, I don't know, walking around with a machete in the woods because he was trying to build a cabin or something, and oops, stupid campers keep coming by and having sex and getting stabbed in front of him.
That's really funny. Sorry, I thought you were going to say more. But yeah, and that's, I think that could be the case for any number of movies. Like, they're just, if the killer didn't actually kill anybody in the movie, or you didn't see anyone get killed, like, how many of these could just be a big misunderstanding?
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the basis of the movie, especially like with the cop. That scene is really funny, where they're, all the college kids are sitting in the car, and they're like, don't go there, and he just like leans on a board, and something falls and hits him in the face, and that's how he dies.
And then the guy who is basically like the, it turns out at the end, the son of the serial killer that he's all pissed off about, and he's in the cabin with his friends, and he's yelling, we can't take them seriously, we can't, you know, they're trying to kill us, they're doing all this evil shit, and then he basically causes all his friends to die in the cabin.
Yes. Yeah.
A lot of this is about, you know, wrong place, wrong time, maybe a little bit about prejudging people based off of looks. It's got a real message.
What kind of a message does it have, Corey?
It's telling you not to judge a book by its cover.
I can see that. I mean, I don't think that's really what they were going for, but I could totally see that as being like, the underlying backstory to this is that, you know what? Maybe everything's not as bad as it sounds. It's not as bad as it looks.
I think the Sesame Street version of this is that, you know, you don't prejudge new people just because they seem a little different. You know, you're all okay, except for Elmo. Elmo's going to touch you in inappropriate ways.
Yeah, Elmo is. He's going to get you. But like even the Alice and the girl that they pick up who falls because they make noise while she's trying to skinny dip and they freak her out and she hits her head. At first, even she's like, "Oh, why do you have me here?" And then Dale's inability to like explain to her why they picked her up or whatever. She freaks out and then realizes like, you know what? There's just a normal guy. And then they start playing board games.
She's part of the group when they run into them at the store first.
Yeah. Which how funny is that, where he just wants to pick up the hot blonde and he just is fucking standing there with like a big sickle above his head.
that's sort of the thing, is that we all kind of have our own worlds that we're in.
Yeah.
And sometimes we see people from that other world and we're like, oh yeah, I wanna go over there and just be part of that for a second, or I wanna meet that person over there, and we forget the weird things that are normal to us, mm-hmm. and how much that puts off anybody who's not a part of that.
Oh, absolutely. What's normal to me may not be normal to you or normal to someone else, so it could be easily perceived as weird or different or scary.
Well, the world don't move to the beat of just one drum. What might be right for you may not be right for some.
Don't say too much more. We may end up in a copyright infringement battle.
It just came to me like, this is Different Strokes. This is exactly what this is about. Take Different Strokes to move the world.
Are we going to do an episode on Different Strokes?
Yeah, I will find you later on in the back room of a bike shop with a guy inappropriately touching you.
Oh boy. There isn't like a ton to really talk about. This movie is super cut and dry. It's very good. It is very funny. But it's just very cut and dry. It is what it is, and there's no real big plot twists. There's just the douchebaggy college guy. It was Chad, right?
It's got to be a Chad. It's always a Chad.
Fucking Chad.
Fucking Chad. Except for Chad from Scream Queens. He was awesome. Yeah,
he was super funny.
So a couple of things about it is, one, it does take you into this maybe a little bit faster than what could achieve full humor. We find out pretty fast that Tucker and Dale are not evil,
right?
And that they're just misunderstood guys. But it does at least keep you laughing by, like, even as people are dying, they're starting to realize, like when the guy is running through the woods and Tucker is running from the bees and he's got the chainsaw. And he's running and hollering and stuff because the bees are chasing him and stinging him, and the other guy is running from him, and then he notices that Tucker is passing him by and he's not being chased until he runs into what is essentially a big spike that goes through his chest.
Yes.
He starts to realize, oh shit, maybe I've misunderstood these, gong, and then he's gone.
Yep.
But that moment of realization is what makes this work, is that, oh, we fucked up.
Yeah.
And now I'm dead.
Yeah, and that's kind of what makes it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, And the fact that the one guy from their group who is kind of egging the whole thing on the entire time, like, oh no, they captured her, and oh no, they're gonna kill her, and they're killing us and everything else. He's so fucked up himself, like he almost practically rapes Allison more than once. And it's determined that they're meant to be together. We're so much better than all these other people. And his outlook is just super shitty. And part of it may be because of the story of his mother and his father being attacked by these people in the woods before he was born. But part of it may be hereditary because his father, it turns out, was the psycho killer. In any respect, he's the monster. And so it's a good role reversal. But it is kind of like that's where we get the payoff. Because if it was just, oh, we have to wait until someone figures out that Tucker and Dale aren't bad people, the rest of the group probably would have figured that out on their own. It just keeps getting subverted by Chad.
Fucking Chad.
And just how stupid all these know-it-all teenagers are, too. I think that's the other part of it. It's like they're sitting there and they're outthinking the problem. Like making it into something that it's not because they all think they know more.
Right.
And then as they're sitting there and one of them gets the other one in the face and then sets himself on fire. And then the girl's lighting a cigarette instead of getting away from where all the flammable materials in the cabin. It's just a beautiful bunch of stupid.
Yeah. And that's the dumb humor is what really made the movie the best to me. And I know that they're making another one. I don't know where it is. I mean, they said 2 years ago that they were making it, so I'm not sure. Versus Evil to the Googles. Versus Evil 2.
Yeah, it's almost hard to think about how do you do this again without it feeling just repetitive, like what we were talking about earlier with Tremors. But Tremors, it was like, well, there's still sandworms out there, so someone's going to keep fighting them. But this is, do Tucker and Dale get... you know, misidentified again as villains, or is it they're legitimately versus evil in the next one?
Yeah, there's nothing on the Wikipedia page regarding a sequel or anything, so I'm not entirely sure what's happening. I mean, I would love to see another one. It'd be cool to see a second one, but I don't know if it's necessary, and a second one could ultimately ruin the first one.
I don't know if it'll ruin it, but it may not be as good, which is always tough. I mean, that does... sometimes it's to the detriment of the original, but I'm not going to judge it until I see it. And I'm,
yes.
Again, I love these people. I loved this movie so much. So we were excited that they were doing another Deathgasm. Mm-hmm. How much more can you do with Deathgasm? I don't know, but I'm going to fucking watch the hell out of it. This is sort of the same thing.
That was a little more cut and dry, though. That was, you know, a demon was summoned. They fought the demon. This is more a big misunderstanding.
Yeah.
So how can you really have another big misunderstanding that doesn't make the story stupid sounding?
So it sounds like Home Alone 2.
Lost in New York.
Keep forgetting our fucking kids somewhere. not even different kids. We've got a whole bunch of kids, but it's that one little bastard that we keep ditching on purpose.
Tucker and Dale versus Evil 2, Lost in New York.
Oh, man. If they go up against the fucking
The pigeon lady?
No, I was going to say Macaulay Culkin.
Oh.
Especially when he was like the little demon child in that one movie with Frodo.
Oh, The Good Son.
Yeah.
It was a fucked up movie.
Beat the shit out of that kid. That's a crossover we need.
That was a pretty good pull, actually.
Fuck 22 Jump Street and Men in Black. Tucker and Dale versus Kevin. That'd be perfect.
Tucker and Dale versus Kevin McAllister.
And then they call in an expert and they get Joe Pesci. That'd be beautiful.
Oh, man. I don't even know how to... I'm just going to stop over ahead.
And it writes itself. So probably one of the greatest moments in this is how subtly they bring it across, but the way that they do defeat... the way that Dale defeats Chad in the end is by throwing chamomile tea in his face because he has asthma.
Yeah, which is weird to me when they're pouring the tea and they're discussing... they're telling each side of the story... they're like, well, it can't be chamomile. I have an allergy. That was funny to me.
It'll affect my asthma. And then that Dale's like, oh, yeah, it's this part of the tea that causes it. He's like, I remember this. I remember weird shit.
Yeah. Which is made better by the fact that, A, the chamomile tea part comes up, and, Dale, when talking to Allison, is like, yeah, I'm not very smart, but I remember all sorts of weird stuff.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it's those moments that are, they're telegraphed because they have to be. That's yeah. That's good storytelling. But the right. way they do it is subtle enough that it actually just works.
Yeah.
It's not so stupid like, oh, we just threw this in here and now you have to, the Chekhov's gun thing.
Yep. Completely agree. Amen. Hallelujah. Holy shit. Where's the Advil? So I do you want to rank it?
Yeah, let's rank okay. it.
I didn't know if you had anything else to say, so I don't want to cut you off. But as always, we'll rank it on rewatchability, story, and the scariness. Rewatchability, I'm going to go 5.
It's a lot of fun.
It is. It is. It's a great deal of fun. What are you going to go with, buddy?
I'm going to go 4, but I will say that we were going to do the show last week and things got postponed.
Yeah.
And I had watched the movie last week. I almost put it on last night to rewatch it again, not even needing to, but just because I'm like, I could watch it again.
Yeah. I actually, and it worked out because I didn't get a chance to watch it before last week. So I totally would have went into it off of memory. But like you said, had I watched it last week, I probably still would have watched it again this week just because it is a really fun movie.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great one to, if you want a double feature, do it with Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah, I never really thought about that. But yeah, that's a very true statement. Let's see here. Story.
Story. Story, I'm going to give it a 4 as well. I mean, it's not super in-depth, but I think it's so well-written mm-hmm. and compelling that, yeah, I had a good time with it.
Yeah, I'll go 4 as well. It's not like a bulletproof story, but it's really good, and I at no point was I thinking that it was dumb.
Yeah.
Scariness, 1. I mean, there's some good gore, but nothing's really like scary, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's not super scary. You're not really. I don't know that you have any empathy for the teenagers that are dying, which in a lot of the classic slasher flicks you don't, anyways. Mm-hmm. But in this, like, I think the worst I felt was probably Tucker getting stung in his face and getting his fingers cut off.
Yeah,
Tucker had a bad day. You know, Tucker had a bad day, and then Dale gets to go on a date with Katrina Bowden.
Plow the hot blonde.
Totally ill-balanced there, but
yeah,
it's all okay. I was worried for the dog.
Me too. That was a cute dog, man.
It was a really cute dog.
Fucking love dogs. But yeah, I agree that Tucker had a rough day. Real rough day. And then he gets the chick's finger sewn back on at the end of the movie. That was really funny. Oh, this is mine.
Does that look right? Oh, yeah, that looks good. Taking your drugs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so 1 scariness for me as well.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
But, man, don't let any of those scores fool you. It is a fun-ass movie.
Yeah, like, overall, I would easily give this movie, like, a 4, 4.5 if we were doing just a blank out of 5.
Yep.
But yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So where can people contact us?
Fuck, I moved it.
All right. Well, you can contact us by leaving a voicemail at 805-328-3966 or email us at pot@gncast.com, or you can leave us a message on the website. There is a way to do that. We like to hear from you. We've been getting some great emails lately. We received one a while back and just haven't had a chance to catch up. A friend of mine, actually, Maggie, who is a listener to the show, has said some very nice things. Had some great discussion about the one that we watched with the deaf woman in the woods. What was that called again?
Hush?
Hush, yes. She had some very interesting things to say about that as a woman who is prone to be attacked. What was the one before that we did that was the independent film with Gary Yap?
Fuck.
I think that's right. I think that's what it was called, because it was fucked. It's that called, woman got
fucked. Entrance.
Entrance.
Yep.
Yeah. That was a hard movie for her to get through, and so we like getting the feedback. Also, Maggie is one of my friends calls Maggie the coolest person that she knows, and the person who calls her that is the coolest person I know. So Maggie is really cool. So it was nice to get an email from her. But we like emails from everybody. We've gotten stuff from Lucy and from
Martin.
Martin.
Yep.
Both of whom I think are scheduled to come on the show at some point.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, we've gotten a lot of really great emails. So if we forget to mention it, I'm really sorry. Just we've been scheduling a lot of episodes like weeks out and recording them weirdly in advance. So it's not that we don't love you. It's just that I'm a poor planner.
We're very forgettable. I think we established that at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
I know my name. But you can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at Podcast of Terror, and also subscribe to us via iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever podcatcher that you use. We should be on those. And all the subscription links can be found at gncast.com/subscribe. And you can also join our Facebook page if you look up Galactic Netcast on the Facebook. Matt, where can people find you specifically?
So you can find me specifically on Twitter and Instagram at Matt the Lifeguard. How about just you, Corey?
Hey, well, before we get to me, I want to ask Matt, your band, John the Lifeguard, mm-hmm. I believe you have some other projects coming up as well?
Yeah. Yesterday we recorded episode 0 of a new podcast called Rounds and Breakdowns, which is a metal and an MMA podcast. I don't know when it's coming out. It was just kind of our beta episode to see if it was going to work or everything. And yeah, that'll be on Blazing Caribou soon. And then, so, yeah.
Check out Blazing Caribou Studios. They've got a lot of other great podcasts. We've both been on one of their shows, the Trivia Geeks podcast.
Yeah, yeah. They got a lot of cool shit coming up. Besides, they revamped Trivia Geeks, and they got like a cooking one or an app one or something other. And the do what now?
I remember that one. Yep. So, and that's where Carrie, our proposed guest for today, who couldn't make it, is from. So check her out on that station and check Matt there too. That'll be a lot of fun. And me, I'm at Don't Ask Comics on Twitter. You can find the comics that I either help make or help promote and blog for at don'taskcomics.com.
Sweet fucking titties. Well, thank you again, Corey. And Carrie just started messaging me. She she thought it was 8:30, not really 7 our time. So we'll have to reschedule, and no big deal.
I look forward to having her back on, and it gave us an excuse to watch this movie, which is good anyways.
Absolutely. She'll have to pick a new one. I don't know if she listens to this, but Carrie, if you do, you have to pick a new one.
Yeah, so, otherwise, I'm going to pick for you, and you won't like it.
Yeah, that'll suck. Thank you very much for listening to another episode of the Podcast of Terror, and we will catch you guys next week. Next week, we're going to be watching the movie Exists. It's a Bigfoot movie or some shit. We will be having a guest, Martin Cortez, who's he's just a buddy of our show. Yeah, he doesn't really do any podcasts or anything. Just all around nice fucking guy. So we're going to have him on the show.
We like nice guys, and we like big feet, and we cannot lie.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting. I'm looking forward to having him on, so it'll be a fun time. We met him through having Matt Vincent on the show. So yeah, titties. So thanks again, and we will catch you guys next week.
Stay scary, everybody.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Podcast of Terror. You can help Galactic Netcast pay for our web and audio hosting by supporting us on Patreon by going to patreon.com/galacticnetcasts and pledge as little as $1 a month.
You have been listening to a production of Galactic Netcasts. For more about this show and others, go to gncasts.com. That's GNCASTS.com.